Here's why I did not go to work today. Thursday is such a crazy, lazy day. Thursday has its own peculiar way of saying it.
So Suzanne Snyder has come in to the studio. And Suzanne is the founder and I think director of the Oral History Summer School.
That's right.
Takes place in Hudson. Mm-hmm. For how many years?
We started in 2012, so this was our fourth summer. And we also had a winter session in January, so we've had four summers and one winter session.
And you've done a lot of interviews during that time, I hear.
Yeah, well, specifically, our students have done interviews as part of the training and as part of the mission of the school. We're building an oral history archive of area residents' experiences and life stories, and that both serves as training for students but also reciprocity because the town does so much for us in just supporting the school's existence, and so this is a way to give back to Hudson.
Great. How many interviews do you think you have in the archive?
I'm guessing now we have 150. I'm still processing this summer's interviews. We had 100 before we started, and we did at least 50 new narratives in June, plus a lot of recordings. We expanded the archive this summer to collect recordings in schools and churches, so we did a lot of song collection and ambient sound collection, too.
Oh, great. So tell us about this project that's happening on Sunday.
Well, I'm very excited about this event for many reasons. There's an event that we're hosting, Oral History Summer School, in collaboration with WGXC and also the Kite's Nest, the Listening Project, and we're hosted by Basilica. And this event is happening Sunday at 2 o'clock, but cars should arrive at 1:30. And it's called Automotive Archive. It's going to be basically a roving sound installation that makes use of six oral histories, particularly the voices of people who've died over the last several years. These are people who were interviewed before they died. In one case, we have Pam Badilla talking about her husband, who died in 2012. So these six narrators will be talking about places they loved in Hudson as we make 2 3-mile loops through Hudson, roving past those places as a pack of cars.
Thus the cars. How do cars have to sign up and then show up?
We encourage cars to pre-register, which you can do at oralhistorysummerschool.com/automotive archive. But you can also just show up. We set off at 2 o'clock promptly because we'll be in sync with the WGXC broadcast, which will be playing this hour-long sound installation via the radio.
Can you tell us who the voices are or who the people are who are speaking?
Yes, I can.
During this journey?
So we'll be honoring Christina Malisoff, Harold Hansen, Frankie Martino, Mary Potts, Lynn Carr, and Alambe Badilla through the voice of Pam Badilla.
You know, I'm very eager to see how this is going to go because I think to myself, I know all of those people except for Mary Potts or knew them. I didn't know them all well, but I did know some of them well, and I'm thinking, how am I going to react to this? Has this ever been done before? Is this a first-time event, as far as you know?
This is a first-time event, as far as I know. There might be other people in other places who had the same idea, but
it's like a funeral procession, in other words, isn't it?
In some ways, but it's a funeral procession where people get to speak about themselves and their own experiences instead of having other people speak for them.
Mm.
And that's of interest to me in terms of this event, but also in terms of oral history. Can we speak about our own experiences? Can we hear history in the words of its, people's lived experience? That's what I'm interested in. And I think Lynn mentioned that you thought it might be sad to hear some of mm-hmm. these voices. Mm-hmm. And someone else mentioned this morning. There's nothing like hearing the voice of someone who's died. There's really nothing like it, especially when it's either piped into your environment, to your car, to your ears. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, we distort people after they die, and people, I think the reality is restored by listening to these voices. We get to remember mm-hmm. what these people mm-hmm. cared about, what they did, what they sounded like, and just the range of emotions, the way they view their life experiences. You know, before they died, they were already in this process by doing a life history of reflecting over their years. So
how long is each section, do you think?
Well, the full-length interviews that we drew from were between an hour and 1.5 hours, and each segment is probably about 6 minutes with some ambient sound in between.
Mm-hmm.
So we start in Basilica's south parking lot, and we'll be lining up there where people will also receive instructions, a few things you need in your car. You can come as a driver, or you can come as a passenger and be placed in a car. So 16 cars have already pre-registered with extra spaces to take pedestrians.
You know, it's interesting that this is happening, because in April, I think you were probably aware of the Lincoln funeral mm-hmm. train
yeah.
commemoration. And it seems we're becoming known for reenacting these incidents. But my memory of the Lincoln funeral train event is that it was incredibly quiet and respectful. And I don't know why I would expect otherwise, but it was such a kind of strange happening. It was outdoors in the dark. There were torches. There was singing, choir singing, and speeches, tableaus. I mean, it was all not the way we think of funerals today, I don't think. But people were so respectful and really moved. Mm-hmm. And this, I think, is going to be doubly interesting because of the voices.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think what you're describing, that just focused attention, you know, when you're embedded within a group and everyone's mm-hmm. focused on the same thing, it's a special experience. And I think that listening with other people is important, even though we all could sit at home and listen to the audio. Technically, there's something different about listening to something as a group. And mm-hmm. that's one of the missions of our archive, the Oral History Summer School Archive, is that we not only establish an audio archive, but that we create social experiences of the archive. I'm very mm-hmm. interested in sort of innovating new ways that people can experience the archive and experience it socially, instead of always going to an archive, to a library, requesting something and listening to it alone with headphones.
Where does your archive reside at the moment?
We don't have a home, in part because the library is in transition.
Mm.
We hope the home and anticipate that the home will be the library once it's moved to the armory.
Mm-hmm. In the history room, probably.
Yes, we think of it, we hope we'll have our own little space.
Oh, yes.
But maybe it will be the history room. But we just want to be in a space that's well-loved, well-used, and the library seems to be a really our first choice.
You know, this project also reminds me of how people, it's my understanding, saved the voices of people at 9/11 when they called home to say, you know, the plane has crashed into the building, etc. I mean, it's not really parallel, but these voices are important to people.
I think there is a lot of connection between that sort of tendency and desire to save voices, even if they're messages, as opposed to a formal interview. There's an interactive project called Sonic Memorial, which combined interviews with messages related to 9/11 and ambient sound. And I think that that project was really exploring the relationship between, you know, different occasions to use your voice.
Mm. Well, this is called A Roving Memorial.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to be a very moving experience in more ways than one.
Well, thank you. I want to encourage everyone who's interested to show up at 1:30 to the parking lot at Basilica, and you will receive various treats and information and a program that will help set you on your way. Feel free to come as a driver or as a would-be passenger, and we'll set you up with a seat in someone's car. So again, lineup is at 1:30. We set off at 2. We'll have a police escort, and I really hope people will show up. There'll be an opportunity when we conclude at 3:00 inside Basilica. There'll be an opportunity for anyone who wants to say a few words about any of the narrators to share memories. And I know some of the family members of these narrators will be there to say a few things. It's actually the anniversary of Lynn Carr's passing. Mm-hmm. So her family will be there. And if people want to say words about someone else in the area who's passed away this year, that would be a time too.
Lynn Carr is also known as Miss Bunny, isn't
That's
she?
That's right, yes.
Right. She was set up a charter school here. Again, the voices are those of Pam Badilla speaking about Alambe Badilla, Lynn Carr, Harold Hansen, who was an antique dealer here in Hudson and in Catskill, Christina Malisoff, who wore so many hats I can't recall them all, except she was one of the founding programmers of WGXC, Frankie Martino, who had the Iron Horse Bar here on 7th Street, and Mary Potts, and I'm not familiar with Mary Potts, so...
Mary Potts will be talking about Promenade Hill as well as her experience at a few different factories.
Wonderful. Okay, and could you give a website where people could find out more?
Yes, www.oralhistorysummerschool.com is our general website. And if you want to find out more about the event specifically, you can go to www.oralhistorysummerschool.com/automotive archive.
Great.
Thank you. See you there.
Thank you, Suzanne.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Are you here for this? Is the school over this year?
Well,
sorry, I'm switching gears here, but...
Yeah, we had 3 workshops this summer, and they ended July 3rd, and this event marks the full conclusion of our season.
We had so much fun with Suzanne that we decided she would stay and we'd talk some more, because we were talking about the voices that we're going to be hearing at the Automotive Archive. You had some interesting things to say about those.
Well, I just mentioned that several people have indicated they might find it sad to hear these voices, but I think it's actually very restorative to hear people speak about the things they want you to remember. And in this case, the narratives are really centered on a particular institution or event in Hudson. So each narrator basically takes on the task of teaching us about something that was important to him or her. So Christina talks about the community garden. Harold talks about his antique shop and all that came before that. Lynn Carr talks about the village school. So we really get a chance to learn something about Hudson through someone who's no longer with us.
Great. So, and you said afterwards, excuse me, people can give their memories of...
Yeah, we're inviting people to gather after this experience, because although we'll be gathered in this audio procession in cars, we'll be both together and separated from one another. So at the very end, we're going to get together. We'll be handing out homemade popsicles and hearing from people who want to say a few words, either about the experience of listening to voices or just memories they have of people included in the procession or people not included. You know, there are many people who we lost over the last few years, and mm-hmm. we didn't have a chance to interview them for our archive, and I deeply regret that, of course. And so maybe some of those people will be remembered as well.
That's lovely. Okay, and what is the route that the cars take?
Well, I'm going to leave that a little bit of a surprise for those who show up, but I'll tell you in general that we're making a loop, mm-hmm. and we're going to make the loop twice, and it's not up and down Warren.
Will it go past the cemetery?
No. We're going past living monuments of these people's lives, but not related to death. So we're it will go on many streets you're familiar with if you live in Hudson.
Funeral processions in Hudson that I've seen and in other towns, all the cars have their lights on. Is that going to happen?
Yeah, we're going to stick together as a fleet, and we will, by any means possible, including hazards and headlights and our police escort.
Very nice.
I learned a lot about the mass gathering permit process.
Oh. is it true that cars have to have an insurance certificate?
Yes. You do have to have car insurance that's current in order to take part in the procession, but you need to have that in order to be on the road in general. So check your insurance.
Anything else they need?
Nope. You just need
working headlights.
Working headlights. Most importantly, a working FM radio, because you'll be receiving the audio through 90.7 FM.
Great. Mm-hmm. Okay. So tell us a little bit more, as long as you're here, about the summer school.
So as I mentioned, Oral History Summer School, we've had 4 summer sessions and a winter session. There are a few people I'd love to name, since I have the mic right now, as instrumental in getting Oral History Summer School off the ground, including Sarah Kendall, who assisted in the first summer doing all kinds of things, outreach, research, a lot of the logistics that are required during an intensive workshop. And Sarah has continued to be a really important friend of Oral History Summer School and of this very event. So she's a great collaborator and Oral History Summer School champion. And Lauren Kelly is our program coordinator, and Lauren lives in Vermont but comes to Hudson to participate, and she'll be here for this event as well. And there are a lot of other people, including Robin Vockel, Lauren, as I mentioned, and Sarah, who served as editors for the segments that you'll be hearing Sunday.
How many students do you have at a time, or do you call them students?
I call them students, but they come in all shapes and sizes. So our students are adult learners who come from all different professions, and I think we've had students from age maybe 19 to 70, and all mixed together. And we have, on average now, the last 2 summers, we've had about 50 students, and they come from all over the world. So we had students from Australia and Panama and Shanghai and Rome. And this summer we had a student from Brazil who heard about the program from another student who was traveling to Brazil. So we've had a really nice international group come, and a lot of local participants this summer. And that was a combination of work, trade, scholarship, and people who paid full tuition. But we really try and offer 2 scholarships for local participants, and then a number of work trade options, because it really, really benefits our program when we have people who live here participate.
How long is the season?
Well, this summer we ran 3 workshops, which all together spanned 3 weeks. And the intensive, the oral history intensive, is the core workshop. And then we usually have specialized, more focused workshops for people who want to continue studying, or people who have just a specific interest. So we had a workshop this summer that focused on memory loss and mixed ability interviewing. And that drew people from psychology, disability studies, people who wanted to do family histories that they knew would involve memory loss or interviewing people with Alzheimer's. And we formed a partnership with Camp Hill Ghent to do interviews at Camp Hill Ghent. And that was just worked out really wonderfully. We did about, I think, 12 or 13 interviews there, and we had lunch with residents and then did our interviews. And we also had someone come who uses oral history to collaborate with narrators who have Down syndrome and to use oral history as a form of self-advocacy. So Nikki Pombeer-Berger came, taught us about her work, and supported us as we did interviews with Camp Hill Hudson mm-hmm. members, and basically interviewed life-sharing partners or people in pairs who've had long-standing relationships at Camp Hill.
I think this work is so important, and I know various attempts have been made through the years that I've been here to capture people before they're no longer with us. And it's really important to know our history, and the people who live here are a large part of our history. So there you are.
I think it is really important in terms of history, but I'm also very excited about using oral history to talk about the present moment and to think about the future. So there is this aspect of preservation, but there's also the experience of these conversations that might be very formative for this present moment or for the future. I also like the idea of interviewing very young narrators, you know, with their guardian's permission, you know, someone age 8 asking what this person thinks about life in Hudson, with the idea that this person can be re-interviewed, or the idea that our social history needs to include a range of voices.
There have been several films made of children, I mean, people growing up every 7 years or whatever. They're really interesting.
Yeah, those 7-Up films.
The 7-Up films, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's children have been left out of the historic record for a number of reasons. For oral historians, often it's legal or ethical. So one of the reasons we hosted this special workshop on memory loss and mixed ability interviewing is because people often say, oh, it's too difficult to interview, you know, I'm not sure if it's ethical to interview people mm-hmm. who have Alzheimer's. How will I know if they're truly, consenting? And so it doesn't happen because people can't figure out mm-hmm. what the legal issues are, what the ethical issues are, and solve these problems. So we were wondering, how can we create a workshop where we actually think through these problems mm-hmm. and instead of walking away from the challenge, actually take it on? Because otherwise we don't have voices of people with mixed abilities, of people dealing with memory loss in our archive.
So what has your experience been interviewing people with Alzheimer's or dementia?
Well, I actually have never sought out intentionally to do that, but if you interview for long enough, you are dealing with memory loss, mm-hmm. you are dealing with mm-hmm. Alzheimer's, you're dealing with trauma, but sometimes that's not what you came to the interview mm-hmm. Prepared to do. So I learned a lot. Dina Zemsky came from StoryCorps to teach us about sort of the, what's happening physiologically for people dealing with memory loss. And then she offered some strategies to support interviewers and interviewees who are dealing with memory loss. Everything from, you know, the time of day you interview, mm-hmm. how long should an interview be with someone who's disoriented, how do you know when to press on, how do you know when to stop. So she really offered some guidelines and some strategies that were really helpful.
StoryCorps is a project of National Public Radio, or?
It is David Isay is the founder of StoryCorps, and he is also originally the founder of Sound Portraits, which is Sound Portraits is a radio production company that's produced, I think, some of the documentary that's most oral history-like, because it really includes things like silence, which is really left out of a lot of radio doc, because time is money. But he's done a lot of long-form radio that really borrows a lot from the ethos of oral history. And StoryCorps is a national project that does air on NPR, and those interviews go directly to the Library mm-hmm. of Congress.
Uh-huh. Thank you so much for coming back again.
You're welcome. Thank you.
We learned a lot more.
It was fun. Thanks.